Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, welcome to Ascent. And I'm not starting a series that I'm going to do week by week, but I am kind of starting a series that we'll probably touch on, and different pastors, I have a hunch, will speak into it. But it's interesting. I was starting to watch last week's service, and Pastor Claude was talking about the Thrive series we're doing in Kingdom. And as we talked, and I know we've taught this in different times, but I feel like we are entering a fuller understanding of Kingdom. And we need to just begin to say, Lord, show us Kingdom. Even as, you know, we're worshiping and things we do, we're a different church in some ways. And I thought, you know, church is clean. Church is clean. Like, you don't want it to be awkward, you know? Like, we have a lot of awkward moments here. Right? Anybody else want to admit that? Because if you're going to really just love on people and go after God, there's going to be awkward moments. And I really feel like Kingdom is awkward. Not awkward in that, like, we try to make it awkward. Awkward where you just, you know, Judy's crying right now because she just, Dylan was in her fire group and she's just being touched by the fact that she got to love on him. And I'm like, we need a place like this where we can cry, right? Anybody listening, right? And laugh. Yeah, we don't want to always cry. But sometimes you need to laugh, and I make moments where you get to laugh at me. You're sitting too close to Ryan. That's Ryan. Ryan usually does that. Danny, what are you doing? So we're going to talk about Kingdom, and I know we'll come in and out of it. This is not a series per se that I'm going to do every day or every Sunday, but I felt like we needed to talk about Kingdom because I have a hunch it's actually simpler than we think. Right now, did you know all around you are things you potentially can hear but don't, see but don't, and feel but don't, all around you right now? And I'm not talking Kingdom. All around us right now are things that you can hear, see, and feel, but you're just not currently. Some people might be. In one of the ways, if you are, you shouldn't be. So let me explain. If you pull out your phones right now and you click on Netflix, you can watch a movie right here through waves in the air. You ever think about that, how crazy that is? Like I started to look into it a little bit this morning. I thought, how weird is it that through Wi-Fi, whatever Wi-Fi even is, that I can punch a button on my phone and watch a movie? Those waves are around you right now everywhere. That's the one thing you shouldn't be doing right now. If you're watching Netflix, you shouldn't be. Audio waves. You could have a radio. You might, the old radios, you could just turn on a button and out of nowhere is an audio wave. Now, it's even crazier because at least for some knowledge, we're plugged into a wall with a radio, the old kind. We're like, okay, in some ways, maybe there's an attachment. When you pull out your phone, there's nothing attached. You know, we're on a plane, and I'm like, I'm watching a movie on a plane through Wi-Fi. I don't even know where they're getting their signal from. Like, it's just mind-blowing. But here's my point. All around us, there are things that you cannot see that if you tune in, you can see. You following me? Atmospheric pressure. How many are affected by atmospheric pressure? Maybe you got a knee that you injured, and man, when that temperature, or when the barometer dives or climbs, I don't know which way it goes, you feel it. Headache, bone pain, raise your hand if that's you. I don't have that as far as I know, but some of you get really affected. None of us have any clue of anything that's going on. You're like, oh my gosh, can't you feel that pressure? No, because you are sensitive to it. What if the kingdom is that way? Because it is. It's not even a what if. Do you remember when Jesus came, he said, we quoted this the other day, kingdom's right here, like my hand. It's right near. So I pull out my phone and Netflix is right near. The audio is right near. What if the kingdom is right here, right near? And what if it is a people that move from really trying to just do, and hear me, we're not, I think we have a mix, but church for so long, and Claude, this is what you said, we have understood the gospel of salvation, right? Just keep eyes on me and nod every once in a while. You understand. We've understood the gospel of salvation, right? We want people to get saved and go to heaven, right? Is that a good thing? Yes. Nothing wrong with that. Did you know that's just a small portion of the kingdom? Like a really small portion of the kingdom? Actually, the way we do it is not even in the kingdom. You know, say this prayer, boom, you're going to heaven. That's actually not part of it. He very clearly said, hey, come follow me. And I'm going to teach you now as a disciple to walk in the kingdom. And everywhere he went, if you look, I spent time last night, today, if you look over and over again, it's all about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And we have made it often into salvation in the church, salvation in the church. And I believe we are truly coming into, we're moving from a church age into a kingdom age. You guys awake? Yep. Kingdom age. Okay, so he mentioned this gentleman we're doing, Claude, last week. Jamie Winship. I said a few minutes, I'm going to preface the story with, it's easier than we think. And then I want to tell his story because even in the videos that we're doing, you don't get to hear this story. Jamie Winship is a gentleman who at the age, I want to say, I believe it was, let me just get his age right to start. I believe in eighth grade, what is that, 12, 13 years old? He grew up in a very religious family, could not go to shows at all. One day, though, he snuck into a theater and watched a movie. And this is so funny. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a police movie. And as he was there watching this police movie, he was a churchgoer. He just gets like hit to the core. In that moment, he's like, I know what I'm called to do. I'm going to be a police officer. This is what I'm called to do. The funniest thing is that he didn't know what to do at the end of the movie. The only thing he knew was the church realm, you go to the front when you feel called. So he says he went to the front of the theater. He literally went to the front. And he, from that moment on, he knew that he was going to be a police officer. So he spent his life, early years, training to be a police officer at the age of 17. This video clip you might have seen, we put it on our family site. At the age of 17, through wrestling, he injured his knee. At this point, he'd been walking away from God. Went to into the hospital. For 5 days, he was there, and he said he had this nurse that was not like any nurse he had ever had before. How many saw the clip on the family? Some of you, none of you. Perfect. In the hospital, she would come in, and every day she would begin to tell him about Jesus. And he said he would curse her. Get out. And no matter what he did, the next day she would come in with the same beautiful attitude and the same heart and begin to tell him about Jesus. His words were, her love was stronger than his or my anger. And she just, for 5 days, didn't matter what he said, she would walk back into the room like he had said nothing ever and just love on him again. After 5 days, he was released. The interesting part to that story, I think it was a person, but he said, I've looked for her and never found her. I thought, well, that's interesting. Entertaining angels, but I think it was a person. But here's what's interesting. As he left the hospital, he said, if I get to be a police officer, I want to somehow figure out how to do what she did in the police force. Like, if I'm going to do Christianity, I want to do that in the police force somehow. So he gets into the police force and he goes through all the rigmarole and does everything. And he gets in and he begins a journey in the police force. And he begins to, as he, you know, he goes through, obviously you're a rookie at first, and but within, like, I think year two, he begins to say, look, we're not making a lot of progress. He comes from, you know, not necessarily the charismatic background that we would understand and kingdom focus, but he's like, there's got to be something else. Like, this cannot be it. So he began to explore, and he's like, I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to begin to explore, and I'm going to ask questions and keep thinking that there's got to be a better way. And so he began this journey of asking questions and asking God. And so one day they get a call, and there's been a kidnapping. And this is back in the day when there's not a lot of kidnappings. It's more common now, unfortunately. But this young boy is kidnapped, and he's with his partner. His partner is the senior in the car. He has the authority. And so they are called to go to the man's house to speak with the man that lost their son. And as they're there, they're talking, and out of Jamie's mouth comes, "Don't worry, sir, we'll find your son." And the senior partner looks at him, and as they leave the house, he's like, "What are you doing? You cannot promise that." He's like, "It just came out of my mouth. I don't know why I said it." He's like, "I don't know." So the senior partner goes a separate way to do whatever he needs to do, and Jamie gets into his car, and he literally drives down the street and sits on the side of the road, and he starts to have a conversation with God. Again, he's not like prophetic like we know, and he's just like, okay, this is a conversation. So God, you know where this boy is. I don't, you do, right? Would make sense, logically. You are the king of the earth. You know where this boy is, I don't. So if, Lord, I'm asking you to show me where this boy is. And then he's like, but if you show me and answer that question, how am I gonna know? Like, what's the process I should go through to understand? And he's having this dialogue, like, how would you tell me? How would I know? And he's back and forth. And as he's having that dialogue, he says this car drives by, and he says he gets nauseous and he feels like he's been hit in the stomach. He's like, well, I just asked a question, and then I asked, how would I know? And I just got nauseous. What the heck? Let's go for it. Pulls the car over. There's only one person in the car. Excuse me, sir, roll down your window, or please actually get out of your car. Looks in the car. Can you open your trunk? Opens the trunk. There's the boy. Isn't that amazing? He became police officer of the year for that. Here's the funny part. When the detective or the senior came back, I can't remember which one, they're like, so please tell me, what was your reasonable cause for pulling over? Because we have to take that into court. He's like, well, I prayed. He's like, yep, that's not gonna work. So he said this statement. He says, as kingdom believers, we have to have the ability to speak in a way that unbelievers will understand. So what he basically did, he thought logically through, and he said, well, I was in the area where the boy was kidnapped. It was a vehicle with a single driver, and there was a third thing, and I felt like that gave me the reason to. And he's like, yeah, I can take that. See how easy that was? In the sense that he wasn't praying in tongues for hours. He didn't have the worship team alongside of him. You know, this is what I love about this gentleman. That's why I'm so excited to do this series. You really should be in a Thrive group. We'll try to send you videos if you're not, like videos I can find online. What I love about this gentleman is he's not trying to make it complicated. He's just going, all right, what does your kingdom look like? And I want you to write these two things down. If you could, I would like you to pull out your phone, if you have a piece of paper, notepad, you got to write these two things down. These two questions will radically change your life, our life, the church, and the world. Okay, two questions. You guys, I think he might have even said these. Maybe they're coming up. I can't remember. We've only done one. The second one is this week. These are the two questions. This is how profound he walks in the kingdom. He asked this question, Lord, what do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Yesterday, as I was getting ready, you guys got the questions. What do you want me to know? what do you want me to do? As I was getting ready and I was looking at something on YouTube, but then I saw the clip. I don't know. I don't think I'd ever seen it before. Might have missed this episode, but maybe it's recent. It was a passion clip. Not passion. Chosen. How many of you have seen the clip where he sits down, or he is, first of all, stands up to read the scripture in Isaiah? How many have seen this? One of the things that I love that they're doing so well in Chosen is they are showing you his humanity, and they're showing you how disruptive he was. Not in the wrong way, because he is. So this is the scene, and you guys can turn to Luke with me. I'll tell you the exact address. Luke. Turn to Luke 4. And actually, there's something that happens in this that I'd never seen before. This is Luke 4. We'll start at verse 1. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And when he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. First of all, what I love about this scene is that everything I think of when I think of the Bible is how staunch and dry and unconversational it is. In this scene, you can see them a little bit joking, like, you know, this is Jesus, the carpenter's son, going to get up there and speak. It's kind of a big moment for him. And so they're kind of ribbing him. They're joking around with him like, oh, yeah, the carpenter's son's getting up there. And I thought, well, maybe it's a little more conversational than we thought. And so he gets the scroll, and it's, you know, the rabbi's there, the head, and he honors the rabbi. And he does this interesting thing, right? What did I say? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And we know that Jesus probably in this moment knows that what he's about to say, because up until now he's done miracles, you know, he's done a lot of things, but he has never announced who he is. And you see him take the scrolls, and they're waiting, and he just looks like he's, Lord, is this the time? Lord, what do you want me to know? Is this the time? This is what I'm paraphrasing. And I think the Father says, now's the time. What do you want me to do? I want you to speak it out. There's this moment of, you can see he's not having a verbal conversation, but he is talking with God. And then he reads Isaiah, and I love it, we'll continue. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set liberty, can't read today, to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And it doesn't continue. I have never noticed that the next line in Isaiah, when you read it, is this. Building anticipation. The next line is, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. It stops to the acceptable year of the Lord. He doesn't read the vengeance. And that's in the movie where they pick up and he goes, the rabbi goes, Jesus, why did you not finish it? And this is where the dialogue begins, because he says, I have come to bring healing. It's not time for vengeance. It's time for salvation. And of course, like, if you watch this, you got to watch the scene, because it begins to open up. They're like, what are you saying? And his friends are like, he's not saying what you think he's saying. And Jesus is like, yes, I am. It's kind of actually a funny moment. No, he doesn't really mean it. Yes, I do. And then they say, all right, if we're quoting from the law of Moses, if you're saying what I think you're saying, we have the right to put you to death. It's a phenomenal scene where he's for the first time, He's trying to, basically, he's announcing the kingdom is here. The king is here. The Messiah is here. I am he. And the room, you could see the, it's cool because you could see the agitation in some. You could see a couple that are like, oh, I knew it. I knew it all along. But there's this crazy war going on. And then just to end the scene, this is where they take him out to basically throw him off the cliff. And I've always wondered how that would play out because they say that they're like, it's time for you to die. We're going to throw you off the cliff. And it says that he walked through the crowd. Remember the scripture? If you don't remember the scripture, it basically says that he basically walked through the crowd. And so they're about to grab him. And as they step forward, he steps forward and looks at him. He goes, something like, I can't remember, like, not today. And he just walks through. And they're all like stunned and they just stand there. I thought that's probably what it looked like. You know, you wonder if it's this big moment and he levitated above them all or he disappeared. He just basically had authority. He said, not today. It's not my time. Nah, it was powerful. Why am I saying all that? When Jesus came, this is in that video, and we know it, he didn't come to bring a new religion. He literally came from heaven, and when he was born, what is a kingdom? A kingdom is a king that takes over a territory, right? I was reading a bunch today. I was curious. You know, the Roman Empire was a long-lasting empire, and it was interesting. I read the story of them taking over Britain. There were kingdoms in Britain, small kingdoms. They had not yet become Britain that we know, and the Roman Empire came in, had a few wars. It wasn't that big of a thing. And they basically brought the Roman kingdom to Britain. And that king stepped foot on the land and he said, this is my land, I claim it, it is now Rome. Interesting enough, you know what began to happen? Britain became the province of Britannia. It began to look like Rome. Why? Because wherever the king went, his influence went, and it began to look That kingdom began to look like his kingdom. So Jesus didn't come to bring a religion. He literally said, I am bringing a brand new kingdom. So here's my point. What if that kingdom that he brought is literally right now, right here? Because it says it's right here. And then it says it's within you. And what if it's as easy as what Jamie Winship is saying? Because this gentleman... Just so you know, what I love about this guy is the credentials that he brings to what he does. Because he traveled throughout the Muslim world doing exactly what he did there. I think, Claude, did you share about that, the prison moment? Just, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Give him the book of Matthew. Okay, give him the book of Matthew. This guy in the prison who was like totally drugged out and in chains, he gave him the book of Matthew. He was a Muslim. That gentleman went and took the book of Matthew and read it from cover to cover. When he went to bow down in his cell, because they were Muslims, they had times of prayer, if he spoke any other name other than Allah, he would be damned forever. But he said, Lord, there's something that I know it's different. I have to try. And instantly he met Jesus when he did it. He got saved. The next week when he came in, he was not on the drugs anymore. He was not chained to the point where he's like, he took over the class. I'll teach. Let's back that up. What happened? Was this a big moment of deliverance? Was this all these things? And there are times for that. It was simply, okay, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Because this guy doesn't even speak. Like, how do I? And the other thing is, he had all these Muslims. He's like, how do I get through? And Jesus said, God said, give him the book. And by the way, he doesn't go, I prayed and thou, Lord, said this to me. He says, I had the sensation and the hunch that I should give him the book of Matthew, so I thought it was a good idea. What I'm trying to say is, okay, the kingdom's here, kingdom, king, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? So he takes the book of Matthew, gives him the book of Matthew. The rest is God. Because literally, the guy reads the book. The guy gets saved by being on the floor. He gets up off the floor, tells him, hey, don't teach this stuff anymore that you're teaching. You need to teach the book of Matthew. Or better yet, I'll get up and do it. He knew seven languages. He was like a high-level diplomat. He was incredibly intelligent. If I think he said all this in the story. If you're not in the Thrive group, if you are, you would have heard it. The crazy thing is, he had two daughters that were, I think, 16 and 18. And they're living on their own because he was in jail. I'm not sure what happened to the mom at that point. But he began to develop a relationship with this man. And the one day, the man goes, hey, I want you got to take care of my kids for me. What? He says, they're living on their own. God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Oh, no, you want me to. So he takes the kids in. They become his kids. They get saved somehow in the process. He marries them off. There's even another point. He gets called in one day by the guy, and he's like, listen, I've served my time. I've repented. I know what I've done wrong. I get it. You need to write to the governor and get me out of here. And Jamie's like, doesn't quite work that way. It's like, well, doesn't God work that way? Yep. He writes a letter to the governor. Governor pardons him, and he gets out. And he said, you guys wouldn't know his name, I guess. He never shares his name, but he says he is leading more people to the Lord in America with the Muslims than anybody. What from? Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Book of Matthew. Sounds good. But didn't Jesus live his life that way? Did you ever notice that he rarely, if ever, does the same healing twice? Blind man, what do you want me to know, Lord? What do you want me to do? And next thing you know, it's every time he's like, what do you want? How do you want me to do this, Lord? Now, please understand, I am not saying that I have this down. What I am saying is that this gentleman has really inspired me to go, maybe the kingdom's a lot closer than we think. Even though we have mysteries that we're looking at right now and going, Lord, we want to see that kingdom manifest. But like I said earlier, we can't stop, right? I'm going to take a bit of a detour veer on purpose. Because this is the reason I'm taking a detour is that I believe in the less we get this right, I'd love to see everybody get it right. And I'm not saying just us, because a lot of people going after kingdom, lots and lots of people. But I said it was mixed. I really believe that unless we get this right, unless we keep our eyes on the Lord, it's challenging. I feel like, and I would say myself as well, in our desire to want to be influencers in seven mountains and different things, however we've called it out, mountains, spheres, doesn't matter. This, basically, we began to realize that the kingdom is here, the kingdom, we need to do something with that kingdom. And I believe that 100%. I think the danger in what happened was that we wanted to so badly do it that we thought we needed to take over each of these realms, and that caused some problems. And what I realize when I read the Gospels, Jesus isn't taking over anything. He is serving everyone. And the next few things I'm going to say you may not agree with at all. As I've traveled the world, I really haven't traveled that far. But you know, when you live in one little world, grew up in Woodsley, then I took the big leap to Cottam, metropolis of Cottam. I've lived my whole life in this area. I was a country boy. Remember the first time I was dating a young lady and she told me that she had gone through horrific things in her life with her family. And I just sat there like, really? This stuff happened? I couldn't even fathom that this kind of horrific things. Like, I was just a country boy. Thank God I'm a country boy. You got to stop rubbing off on me, guys. Even Kim Walker put out a country song the other day. I can't run from it. As I've traveled a little bit, I've begun to realize that there's a big world And in many ways, we actually have a very narrow North American mindset. Let me just give you an idea here. Jerusalem, you know, not as a nation itself, but Jerusalem itself has been around for 5,023 years. That's a long time. 5,023 years. Greece has been around for 3,200 years. Rome has been around for 2,775 years. Now, they've been longer, but as these are established. The United Kingdom has been around for 311 years. You go to these places and you look and you think, again, establishment, they've been around, but just becoming, like there's a lot of history there. United States has been around for 246 years. Canada has been around for 156 years. I'm saying that because one of the things I realize is that in North America, we have this view that it's if it's not good for us, it's got to be the end. That's how I see it. And where I think we're missing it right now is that when we get our eyes off of kingdom and bringing the kingdom and trying to get our eyes on making sure everything should be the way we want it to be, we actually miss the kingdom. And that's dangerous. Some of the arguments, and I don't even go on very much anymore, but some of the arguments I see on Instagram and different things, I'm like, you are arguing about things that you disagree with like this much, and the kingdom is this big, but we're focused on this, and yet we should be focused on the kingdom. We've shared this before. This is crazy to me, the Sagrada Familia. You've seen the Sagrada Familia. Have you seen the Sagrada Familia? You never got to see it. The Sagrada Familia. I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I'm not sure if that's Italian or New York. Sagrada Familia, it's Spanish. It started in the year 1882. It's a cathedral. 1882. Still being built. They think it'll be done in 2026. Can you wrap your brain around a construction project? It's 141 years old and they're not done. It's been generation after generation. How many have seen it? How many actually have gone to see it? One hand. I see those hands. It's 141 years old. Canada is 156 years old. You probably not understand what I'm trying to say. The longevity in the history of the world is a lot longer than our nation or America. Okay? So what I see, the world is constantly, North America is constantly like, it's all going downhill. We're just, And I'm thinking, the world has gone through ups and downs for eons. One cathedral is being built longer than almost the nation, our nation has been established. The kingdom is at hand, and what I'm trying to say is we are heading into two elections. You guys know that, right? You can feel it right now. America, like, you can't turn on the news without seeing something about the election that's not even gonna happen until November. It is gonna light things on fire. It already has. What's gonna happen is if you're not kingdom focused, you're gonna get focused on this instead of getting focused on this. And as believers, God is saying, don't get tied up with all this. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Every day I walk out that door. What do you want me to know, Lord? What do you want me to do? The church mentality is we got to change everything. And this is what I realize. This is very sad, but it's true. I am not here for very long on this earth. Not that I'm dying. But when you look at the number of years that some of these places have been around, we are really blips on a radar. Doesn't that sound morbid? But it's the truth. I walked one day over here into the graveyard, and I was walking, this is quite a while ago, and I'm looking at the years on these gravestones. It's incredible. And I realized some of these people lived 80 years, 12 years, and they're gone. When I was young, I wanted to do these fabulous things. I got to make sure I change the world, and I got to, the pressure. And now I'm realizing, Lord, when I wake up tomorrow, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? When I come across somebody at the grocery store, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Maybe we've just made the kingdom so complicated that we're not getting very far, and we just need to unwind it and go, Lord, the kingdom is all around us, like video stations that we can't even see. But what if we begin to go, Lord, like taking out our cell phone and putting on Netflix, it's the same thing of going, Lord, your kingdom is right here. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Because I have a hunch if we get caught in the weeds in the next few months, because Canada's elections after that, that we're going to miss the good things that God has planned in the kingdom. And our peace will be gone. All these different things will miss and get caught up in the frustration and the anger and the confusion and the I know better than you, instead of just going, Lord, we are citizens. We are ambassadors, actually, it says, right? We are ambassadors of the kingdom. As ambassadors of the king, every day we should be saying, King, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? It's really that simple. What do you want me to know, Lord? What do you want me to do? Because I think, you know, it's easy. I've said, Zach, we're going to pray for you every week. But we may have to get back into, okay, Lord, in this service, your presence is here. I know we're going to pray for Zach, but how do you want us to pray for Zach this week? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And that's why I say church is kind of clean cut. Kingdom may not be. If I come up to you and you, are you really hearing the Lord? You guys understand what I'm trying to get across? Jerusalem, 5,023 years. That's a long time. I actually, when I step back, and people will disagree, I'm just being real. When I step back and I look at sometimes the arrogance of a nation 156 years old, 246 years old, I'm like, Lord, help us to be humble if you have us in a role to serve or to lead. Help us to not think that everything that we do is right. What do you want me to know, Lord? What do you want me to do? Just a few scriptures. John 18, 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. It's the same thing as saying the video channels I have are not from this realm. They are from another realm. Can you see any video waves right now? You can. They are right here. You realize they're passing through you even right now? Like they are permeating this room. Why? Because every one of us right now could pull out our phones and pick a different movie to watch, and we would all be able to do it, which means that those waves are passing through simultaneously. Plus, I don't even know how that works. It kind of fries my brain. But they're all right here, right now, and you can't even see them. And yet the kingdom is right here. He's saying it's not of this world. You're trying to figure it out on this world. My kingdom isn't of this world. But if we begin to go, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? I believe this gentleman in simplicity is just simply going, I'm going to pull that kingdom into this realm and let's see what happens. It's really quiet in here. Contemplation, right? This gentleman has so many stories and I can't remember which ones are. Let me share one more story just to stir your faith and then I'll close because it's not in the series that we're doing. Oh my goodness, his stories are like anything you can think of on steroids. And what I love about it, he most of the time doesn't even understand what God's doing, and he's just trying to follow God. But one of the coolest stories, there's a lot. One of the coolest stories, he was in a nation that's a Muslim nation that ended up in civil war. And they're white people in a Muslim nation in civil war. If I remember the story correctly, he had his kids, three kids, plus somebody else's kids in the car. And as they're driving, they end up going down this alley. They're trying to get out. And as they're going, there's a mob coming their way. They can't go back. I can't remember why. They can't reverse. They're like, he began to say, Lord, this is it. Maybe it is my time to go. So they began to pray. And again, I don't have all the details. It's been a while, but I don't know if it was him. I think it was him that he says, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And the Lord says, pray to be invisible. All right, kids, let's go. We're going to pray that we are invisible. And they're all like, yeah. They have no idea, by the way, what's going on. They have no clue what this mob has the intention. And so they're like, Lord, would you make us invisible? Now, what kid wouldn't want to pray that, right? Superheroes. And as they drive through, he says, like, they had this little bit of rock in their car. And he says, it's like they just parted through and drove on. He said, literally, the Lord made us invisible because we would have been martyred. Here's the funny part. When they get past the crowd, the one kid goes, stop! So he stops the car. We got to pray that we're not invisible anymore. We're going to get hit. Lord, make us visible. Okay, let's go. I think there is something right here because Jesus said it. I don't understand it, but I'll tell you, I don't understand video waves either. I'm baffled. Maybe I'm simple. Maybe, I don't know, but I think of the fact that every one of us could watch a different film and those waves are passing through everywhere, all the time, anything you pick. So what we know is that if we have the right device and app, we can connect into that and see. So I believe we know prayer, seeking the Lord. He says, one of the things that North America is not good at, he says, we don't know how to contemplate. He says, we pray, and then we pray, and then we pray, and then we pray something else, and then we go. He says, why don't we pray and then listen? And then when we get a hunch, why don't we stop thinking maybe it's not from God and start thinking it is from God? And what I love about his journey is that he just began in a simplistic way to go, hey, let's figure this out. Okay, Lord, you know where this kid is. How would I know? Ooh, pull over the car. There he is. Isn't that crazy? It gets so good because he keeps doing this. Police officer of the year. It's just, he gets people assigned to him to train them in this. And he gets them in the room after and he's like, I don't know what you've been told, but if I'm gonna train you, it's the Holy Spirit. I can't teach you any other way. Do you guys wanna learn? Yeah, you're gonna need the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we get the Holy Spirit? He would teach them. Okay, I wanna get saved. And then he would teach them. Kid you not. And then he gets a call one night to go out and he's at a bar because that's where they're doing this interview. And he realizes he's with the CIA at this moment. And they start asking him all the questions because they've heard about him. And he ends up working for the CIA doing the same thing that he does. And he's just the man that goes, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? I'm thinking, I think I want to do that. I want to reverse and simplify and go, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Right? Because the kingdom's right here. Amen. Why don't you stand? If you missed my point about how old nations are, we just need to remember North America's young. The world has been around for a long time. And just because for seasons it gets ugly in our place, it doesn't mean the world's over. You got that? I don't know when it's over. My point is, just because it gets ugly for us doesn't mean it's over. Because if you read history, like half these nations, like Greece, was it Greece or Spain? They've been around for a long time. They're currently called that because it's the last time they were invaded by another nation. But some of these places were invaded so many times, ups and downs and different kings. But I'm like, Lord, help us to get rid of all that junk, like the news, the junk. Lord, today I'm an ambassador. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? I believe it can work in boardrooms. It can work in dentist offices. It already has. Wherever you go, it can work, right? So Lord, we just stop, and as simple as that is, it's a lot. And Lord, there's a group of people here that love you and want to walk in your kingdom. We already have. This is not something, a new desire, but Lord, we just want to get out of the weeds, all the things that maybe made it difficult, and just go back to the simplicity of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, I pray that each of us in here would begin, that those two questions would burn within us, that we would begin to every day, everywhere we go, situations that are difficult, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And Lord, help us to tune our ears to the waves that are all around us called your kingdom. Help us to have the patience to listen. I am so guilty of not listening. Help us to have the patience to listen. That we would pray and wait to hear. And Lord, if things stir up in the next months, as they will, Lord, I thank you that we stay grounded in you, focused on the kingdom, serving the King. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.